1 John 2:27, "But the anointing which you have received abideth in you." 1 John 3:9, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit or practice sin, for his seed remaineth in him." 1 John 5:18, "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not." There is this relationship between the anointing, the right seed, and being begotten of God. Formed from the womb, Isaiah 42:2, "Thus saith the Lord, Jehovah, that made thee, Israel, and formed thee from the womb." In what way would Israel be formed in the womb? Whose womb? The word beten means that we mean today by the womb. Men do not have a womb. Abraham did not have a womb, but Sarah did. In Isaiah 51:1 and 2, as quoted above, speaking of Sarah, we find the womb described as the hole of the pit. This metaphor is a term that extends to the mountain from which the stone mountain is taken. This is God's mine. James, who was writing to the 12 tribes, says, "Of his own will begat he us, Israelites, with the word of truth." James 1:18, "begat," as has been shown, is chiefly about conception, not physical birth. Isaiah 43:1, "But now, thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel." This verse indicates a difference between Israel and Jacob. Here we have the one being created, the other being formed. So there are differences associated with the use of these words in different contexts. Isaiah 44:24, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things." Here again, the Lord is speaking to Israel only. Nowhere in Scripture can we find reference to the Lord being the Redeemer of any other people apart from those of Israel who are formed from the womb. In the New Testament, we still find references to the womb of Sarah. Therefore, it is important as ever in the New Testament as well as in the Old Testament. Romans 4:19, "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, and when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb." Contained in the first verse of this chapter, we see Abram, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, the father of us all. That is, all Israelites. Of verse 16 is Abraham after the flesh. This still is not a spiritual rebirth. Remember that Paul was writing to the house of Israel to whom he was sent. Nicodemus, as a master or teacher in Israel, should have known these things. Jesus told him so, in no uncertain terms. Teachers today likewise do not know these things. The womb of Sarah and the offspring from that womb have been spiritualized away. The common New Testament word brethren, as has been shown, is kinsman of the womb. What other womb would this be other than the womb of Sarah? He came into his own. He's born of God. John 1:11-12. "He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God." Quoting R.K. and R.N. Phillips in The Only Begotten God, verse 11 is almost completely misunderstood by the whole of Christendom today, and the Authorized Version translation is the main cause of this misunderstanding. The word "own" appears twice in the verse, but in the first clause it is neuter gender, while in the second it is masculine. Therefore, John is referring to two different things. The first clause states that Jesus came into his own possessions, neutral, his land, his kingdom, his city, his temple. In the second clause, the term "his own" is the Greek term ioidios, masculine gender, which means literally the members of one's own household. In this case, it refers only to those who had authority over his kingdom, city, and temple. The vast majority of Israel were scattered abroad in the dispersion, and at that time were still classed as not my people. Before we can complete the translation of verse 11, we have to look at the beginning of verse 12. The Greek text of verse 12 begins, "but to those who did receive him." In this case, in the last clause of verse 11, we have another instance of the Authorized Version translating two different Greek words as one English word. In this case, received. The last clause of verse 11 states, in effect, that those who were ruling over his possessions neither received nor accept him as the owner. It points to outright rejection, not through ignorance, which is covered by the phrase "does not recognize him" in verse 10, but by willful refusal to accept him as the rightful owner. However, in the first sentence of verse 12, the word received has the meaning of to welcome or to accept willingly. Hence, while the Judean nation rejected him at a national level, there were individuals in that nation who did both recognize and receive him gladly. Verse 11 and 12, read in the Greek text. Verse 11, he comes unto his own possessions, but the people ruling over his possessions refused to accept him as the rightful owner. Verse 12, but to those who welcome him, to the ones believing in his name, to them he gives authority to make themselves become, because of their beliefs, children of God again. There were not anyone on earth who were born of bloods, plural in Greek, or by the will of flesh. 1 John 1:10-13. Jesus came to his household who were born by the will of God. There, household is used as stock, race, descendants of one. Phillips and Phillips again points out, the phrase translated the sons of God in verse 12 of the Authorized Version is quite wrong. The Greek phrase is tikna theo, which means children of God. Immature children, no doubt, but it does not mean sonship, for sonship points to growth and ultimate maturity, nor does it have anything to do with the false doctrine of adoption. On the contrary, the phrase forcefully asserts the natural genetic relationship of a child with its true father, and hence those children of God are the biological descendants of God himself. Note that John 1:13 states, which were born not of blood, plural, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. To which Phillips and Phillips point out, verse 13 states that those who were given the right to become children of God again were those begotten, not out of blood, meaning not out of the blood of men, which is of ordinary human descent, nor out of the will of the flesh, which was Sarah's demand to have children by Hagar and Keturah, nor out of the will of man, which was Abraham's desire of an heir, but out of God are begotten. The Greek verb begotten is plural in this verse, and so cannot be limited to the birth of Jesus. Isaac was not born of Abraham's will. Abraham was past that. Isaac was begotten by God's will when he regenerated Abraham and Sarah's ability to have a child and to give that child an individually incorruptible spirit. Isaac was thus begotten from above, as are Isaac's descendants from the time of their conception. In this portion of John 1, we find the origin of those who can believe in Jesus. Also, we find where they did not and do not come from. Jesus came only alone to those begotten from above by God. He is shown to be the Redeemer of only his kinsmen. A person does not exercise his will in determining where and of what race he should be born. The will factor of the person being born does not function in normal physical conception and birth. God determined what seed a person is. God knows who are begotten of the Spirit from above. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, God knows those that are his. The word born, geneo, is in the following scriptures, which is used in the genealogies and all other places, as being begotten or conceived. It does not relate to some spiritual birth. John 1:13, which were born are begotten, not of blood. John 3:3, except a man be born again, that is, begotten from above, conceived from above. John 3:5, except a man be born, begotten of water and of spirit. John 3:8, so is everyone who is born, begotten of the Spirit. John 18:37, to this end was I born, referring to Jesus' physical birth from Mary. Matthew 2:1, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, referring to his physical birth from Mary. Spiritualize these references if you like, but you will be like Nicodemus, not knowing these things. Well, what about regeneration? In Scripture, there is an expression that it means born again. This is palingenesia, or palin, again, plus Genesis, born. There are only two occurrences where this word is used. Matthew 19:28, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. not talking about individuals, talking about the whole universe, the whole world. Titus 3:5, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It is not appropriate to expand this subject here. We're not teaching this subject at this time, but it does not have anything to do with anything but the tribes of Israel's limitation. What is being said? Simply this: there is a great difference between begotten and born. Begettal refers to conception, whereas born refers to physical birth. The Greek word geneo means conception or beget when used of men, and physical birth when used of women. Unless a person is begotten of the line that arises from the original sowing, the begetting of God, that person does not come to contain the ability to perceive the kingdom of God. This is what Jesus said to Nicodemus. In John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be conceived from the beginning seed, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be birthed when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be conceived, containing flesh and the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Man was the first to be conceived of flesh and the spirit. Adam was the first to be conceived of flesh and the spirit. So you must be from the stock of Adam. Because of the dilution of the spirit of the Adamic descendants, God destroyed all but Noah and his three sons who had retained their original conception traits. God started over with Abraham and Sarah. Their reproductive bodies were dead. God remade them and re-empowered them with flesh and spirit. The result was Isaac. Thus Isaac only shall be shall his calling be. It's important that you understand that the descendants of Isaac are the ones who make up the people of God, which is called Israel. And today they are known as the sons of Isaac, or Isaac's sons, or Sac's sons. Saxons, Anglo-Saxons, and the Celtic people, and others of kindred label are God's people. And they do not live in that little land of Palestine. They live all over Europe and the islands between Europe and the United States, North America. And they live in Australia and New Zealand and a few other spots in the world. These are God's people, and they originated from God, and we are His because the Spirit that dwells in us confirms who we are.